So the big question is this: how do entrepreneurial salespeople like us, who have traditionally sold alone and used gut and intuition to hit their number, take their innate talents and begin selling using science, technology, and the secrets of thousands who have done it before to crush their quota and change the world? That is the question, and this podcast provides the answers. So we're excited to get rocking and rolling today. We are going to be talking about building an inside sales structure with a little bit of a tweak, talking about inside sales in a supply chain business. And to do that, we brought on Ed Porter. Ed is currently the director of inside sales at Guest Supply. Ed, how the heck are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you, Gabe, for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Well, you and I met up in Chicago. Ed and I had a good conversation. And I was intrigued just to, you know, we were talking about social selling and some of the different things you do in inside sales. And Ed was telling me a little bit about his business. And I just said, God, you know, it would be fun. It's always interesting to get something that's just a little different perspective. And I think some of the things Ed's been thinking about, the way he runs his business, just how inside sales is being adopted and taken to, you know, a slightly different industry, something that's not maybe, you know, high tech, was kind of interesting. So I said, Ed, why don't you pop on the show and we'll talk through it a little bit. So again, thanks for joining. And can you take us just real quick, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at Guest Supply?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm the director of inside sales. I was hired on to kind of figure this whole inside sales thing out. And during my journey, really just became a student first of what is inside sales, what are the benefits, and over the past 7 years that I've been here, just been fortunate to have the ability to start to test some different things. So over this time, we've really done a lot, and we're continuing to still do a lot, and predominantly in a field sales organization. Right. So that what's been really nice is having this autonomy, but also being able to now be supported and to try and figure out how do we use this as a defining strategy, not only in our business or a competitive difference, but in terms of growth as well. So as in my role as inside sales director, that's really what we're working on, and we're continually building. Our company, Guest Supply, is probably a company most people haven't heard of. We are predominant in the lodging industry, so we're best known for making the little soaps and shampoos that are in hotel rooms. So we manufacture a lot for the hotel chains as well as our own collections. We also contract manufacture for textile products, so a lot of the things on the bed, your sheets, your pillows, your pillowcases, and even the towels and washcloths in the bathroom as well. And then we fully distribute everything else that a hotel really needs to operate. So if you think about when you've been in a hotel room, look around. Those things we sell, whether it's the coffee maker, the coffee that goes in the coffee maker, the television, the mattress, the iron, the hair dryer, you name it. So we are a full spectrum solution provider to the lodging industry. We also have a little bit of manufacturing as well as the full service distribution capabilities as well.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. I remember now when you told me about the shampoo, I was like, that's awesome. It has to come from somewhere. So why not come from you? I appreciate Absolutely. The quick overview. Tell us just something quick about yourself. You know, we'll get into sales here in 1 second, but anything unique about yourself? You're a gardener. You have some crazy fancy hobby or something like that.
Yeah, probably nothing too out there, but you know, one of the things that I'm really proud of. So I've got two kids, two boys. They're older now, but one of the things that I've absolutely loved is when I was growing up, I was into music and I was into baseball and soccer. So lo and behold, without any forcing of my own or my wife, both of them gravitated to the two sports that I played. So I was able to coach both of their teams growing up.
Fun.
And now one of them, the oldest one, is in college. He just finished his second year, and he's a jazz guitar player. So he's going for music. And I played guitar growing up. So
right.
He's now kind of taken that baton and he's running with it. And this kid is so much better than I'll ever be. And I love hearing him play. So
I think what
I like about it is, I get to enjoy what my kids are doing without any kind of forcing them to go play soccer, go play baseball, go play guitar. Those were things that they just gravitated to naturally. So awesome. I've loved being the kind of that parent that's been able to be on the sidelines with the teams, as well as on the other end of the field as a spectator parent. So that's been really fulfilling to watch.
I love it, man. You know, I'm right in the middle of, I've got a basketball game tonight. I got a coach for my 7-year-old. He seems to like it, and it is fun. It's pretty fun, but
I'll tell you, it's a different view on depending on what side you're on. As a coach, you know, you gravitate one way, and then as a spectator, I like to look at the parents that are yelling at the coach and say, "I've been there. It hurts."
It is. It's hard. I'll admit I was kicked off the soccer field last year for inappropriate behavior, but it was only for a few minutes, so it wasn't too painful. Well, let's jump over to this topic of inside sales and supply chain. I mean, you've obviously got kind of a unique background. Maybe you can just start big picture. I mean, inside sales and supply chain seems like it hasn't been quite as quickly as adopted. Is there a reason for that, or what does inside sales just at a big picture look like in kind of your world?
Yeah, so what's been nice is over the years, I'll kind of say where I've really got my start in connecting with people in different companies has been through the AAISP, American Association of Inside Sales Professionals. I went down this path, as I mentioned, when I kind of first started to really research this, and stumbled across this organization, went to the leadership summit 3-4 years ago was the first time, and just opened my eyes to a world of people. And over the years and different events that they've had, I've wound up connecting with people who had similar businesses. And one of the differences that I started to realize at the first conference there was all of our sales efforts don't culminate into one transaction. Hmm. We sell over 30,000 different items, and our goal is to really sell wide and deep to a customer. So we are constantly selling, we are constantly servicing. So there's a real big difference and a blend between what is the salesperson responsible for? Because you think about when you're in a hotel room, we sell the trash bags. So once you sell trash bags, now you want to try and sell toilet paper too. Mm. Or now you want to sell cleaning chemicals. So you're trying to always constantly sell more stuff. So your sales cycles at times tend to be pretty small or pretty quick, but then you're continuously nurturing that relationship. And the more that I talk to companies that operate in the same model, which are, you know, office supply distributor companies, I've had conversations with people from Staples and Office Depot both, and, you know, very similar concept to sell wide and deep. Other companies, Grainger, I've got a friend that worked there that we worked previously and had spent some time with a lot of people on that staff, just learning what they're doing, how they're doing it. And you really start to see a lot of differences, which is we're not spending all of our effort per se to go get one purchase. Yeah. Our first purchase of a new customer is going to be the smallest amount that they'll spend. That second purchase, which could happen 2 weeks later, could be much larger. So I think that's one of the differences that I've seen as I've talked to a lot of different people and companies who run inside sales teams, or even sales teams for that matter, is just the dynamic of the customer transaction is so monumentally different. So then layer that into what you had asked, Gabe, which is, you know, why is some of this maybe being more lethargic or not taking shape as early on? And I think it's because these companies have generally survived through field sales forces. They have large field sales teams, as do we. And realistically, that's been a great success. Having somebody there that can meet with a customer to walk them through a lot of things from a training perspective, even from a servicing perspective, there's a lot of value into that. So that's how I think a lot of these companies have started to grow in the past. And now you fast forward to, you know, back from like the 60s, 70s, 80s up until like the 2000s, you got technologies come into play. Now there's this whole thing saying, all right, how do we maybe not change our sales process, but how do we enhance it? And I think that's where a lot of big companies nowadays are starting to try new things and try different things. And they're looking at inside sales. You're looking at sales development. You're looking at technology and customer service, even customer success, you know, trying to empower a lot of those areas and resources to try and figure out the best way to support your customer and the best way to turn a dollar.
Yeah,
so that's kind of where we're at in this whole supply chain world. We're looking at trucking companies, distribution companies, manufacturers. These are companies that have traditionally been, I'm going to stereotype for a minute, but been lethargic in gravitating to, you know, the times. And not to say that some of these companies aren't pioneers in their own ways of how they provide products and services to their customers, but when it comes to comparing how does a startup tech company go to market, it's very quick, very nimble, very technology driven. And then the other part of that is us, which is we're now looking at it from a completely different angle.
Interesting. Yeah, I totally agree. It's interesting to see how different industries are picking up inside sales, because it is, you know, in a lot of ways, pretty cost effective, and it can be very, you know, I mean, depending on your go-to-market, a really great tool in your tool belt. But for a lot of organizations, it certainly is different, as you explained, and sometimes it is just kind of the model. As you said, you've got more of a little bit of a relationship-based sale, and certainly an ongoing kind of sale, and a multiple product sale. It's not kind of this, you know, one and done type scenario. So as you think about, I want to just continue to double click into this and maybe get your thoughts on some of the ways that you've gone about winning in an industry that's a little different than, you know, air quotes here, typical. Maybe we can start at the top with structures. You talked a little bit about in your world, outside sales has been, or field sales has been kind of predominant. How do you start to introduce these different roles of inside sales, and how does that look within kind of your own org?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple things that come to mind when we were looking at this model, and even other companies, other people that I've spoken to across vast distribution companies. When looking at this model, the segmentation becomes kind of a pretty big one. So in some cases where you have a field sales model, you may not have a field rep everywhere. So that becomes an initial, all right, let's have a dedicated team handle these remotely. And then you just kind of go from there. So that becomes almost more of the common how things start. And that's becomes the foundation of, all right, well, if this works, how can we then try this? Or maybe we want to look at new markets, or maybe we look at particular customer segments other than just geography. So when we talk sales structures, there's certainly a lot of, you know, some of the common ones that can be used, sales development channel. So that's one that we're using here, where the whole goal is to take that prospecting effort off of the field sales rep, where our company previously had, you know, the field rep is the CEO of their market and they do everything. So, and that worked well. We've got a lot of good sales reps at this company and have for a long time. And there's certainly an opportunity to enhance them and to allow them to be better. So that's a channel we've utilized. That whole functional area for us came from getting involved with AAISB, talking to different people, hearing this whole sales development thing and what it was. And now it's like, all right, how do we, it's not quite as, you know, appointment setting meeting and there's process and comp structures. It's not quite that easy because there's some differences, but I think there's some truth to this. So again, kind of going back to the opportunity that the company has afforded me to just really start small, pilot it, see if it works and test it. And that's exactly what we've done. So, you know, that's certainly an added bonus to a sales structure. So field sales development, kind of briefly talked about an inside sales rep in our world that owns quota, that owns territory or owns a portfolio of accounts, is certainly something that's there. Then you get into other things like people that can help enable our field teams. So our field reps are on the road, they're visiting hotels or talking to people. They don't have a whole lot of time to do these non-selling activities. Gabe, I remember you were talking at the AI Summit in May in Chicago about non-selling time. I think it was 37% or 36%. Yeah. I don't know what decimal point, but
yeah, 30, you know, that's 35%, how much time sales reps, close. You were close.
35% spent selling. So I think that's a real problem. You're looking at 65% of the time a sales rep is not spent selling. So there's got to be an opportunity for to offload some of that work to somebody central, somebody that's not on the road every day. So that's something that we're looking at. And one of the things that's really helped guide me, and I actually just reached out to her yesterday, but Annika Seely wrote the book Next Era Selling. Yes. And it's a phenomenal book. If you haven't read it, it's a great book. And it talks about, there's a section in there that talks about this type of sales support or sales support coordinator, I think is the role they called it. But that's now something where I want to learn more, and I'm interested to see how that can help and how we can help our whole field organization. So you talk about things like that, and now you get into what traditionally companies will call customer success. We call customer service, and empowering them. How can they help our customers? They're there getting a phone call. So what are they doing on that phone call? And, yes. And I think over the years that I've been here, we've started to do a lot more on the customer service side. And I'm excited to see where that goes in the future. So you look at this kind of perfect storm of what we're looking at now, of seeing all of these different opportunities of how we can sell better, how we can help our sales team, how we can help our customers at the end of the day, be able to help educate them in the best way we can, market and go down the path of upselling in that case, to be able to do that through many different channels and many different people. So when it comes to sales structures, that's where we're really kind of spreading wide on what we can do to really keep the customer at the center.
Yeah. Do you feel like on the sales structure, I mean, it sounds like I love the word test. You have kind of the reins to test a couple different things. Do you feel like as you've tested a couple of these different roles, there's been a couple key takeaways that you have learned? You know, with this prospecting team, they have to do this in order to be successful with the field team, or maybe this versus that. Anything come to mind?
Yes. I think the biggest ones for us were just, we were starting from scratch. So some of the basic questions that I didn't know, or we didn't know, is how long does it take to onboard a customer? How much effort does it take during that process? So there's a lot of those data points that we didn't have. So that was really the big takeaway is, you know, without giving away our secret sauce, those are some of the things that now we know. Now we know how many touch points it takes, through what channels. We've done a lot of testing, and I love listening to the battle between you and Mario, social selling versus cold calling. But you know what? It ultimately just comes down to testing, and you just got to see what works. And there's a lot of industry data out there that says, you know, social selling is, well, we get this part of return. And I think Mario even quoted, which was a great metric, 84% of the referrals come through a social platform,
right.
Something to that degree. And like that's powerful stuff. It is. And I think it, what both of you were really trying to say, which is what our key learning has been, is there's a lot of industry data out there that's very generalized. And I think that's a great starting point for any organization. That's exactly what we did, is to use that to test it and to try it. So what we found is we got laser focused on what channel was the most effective channel for us to reach our customers. Is it social? Is it email? Is it phone call? Is it video? Is it direct mail? And a slew of others that are there. So we tested that. We started to find out what's that timeline like from first outreach to first purchase. What did that journey look like? And how did we map those customer stages? So those were a lot of the big takeaways, I think, in the sales development side that we learned. And then from there, as we've started to test different things, we're really learning certain technology helps us and certain technology isn't helpful. There's no return on some, and some there is. So that's one of the things that I think that as we've learned is you try to figure out the process that's most optimized, and you try to find a technology that helps mirror your process to do it faster, more effectively, or to give you better or more accurate data.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I want to jump to this point. You and I talked a little bit about this, but you brought it up just as you were kind of introducing your model. You know, you've got this concept where you kind of sell to the same customer in this regularly occurring kind of cadence, right? Where you're continually trying to try to approach them. How does this, you know, it just, that's kind of like a cross-sell, upsell, ongoing sales model. And I do think it has some differences, but I'm interested to hear kind of lessons learned or the way you guys have structured it, the difference between maybe sales and customer service, or the way inside sales has started to play a role in that kind of concept. Any thoughts on this kind of continual selling model and how that's worked?
Yeah. So the biggest difference that I've seen is I've talked to so many people, even like yourself and people from InsideSales.com as well, is just trying to understand the handoff. And I think in a lot of industries, it's a pretty clear handoff. You have, you know, maybe marketing does some initial customer acquisition or does some very basic. I say basic, not to minimize basic in terms of the whole sales process.
Right,
the market, get the company out there. Then you got sales development that's doing the outreach or responding. Then you've got a hard handoff to an AE. Then the AE has a hard handoff to customer success. So it's pretty well orchestrated and well defined. In our world, that's so much different, and because we can market so many different products and even so many different categories of products. If you just think about janitorial products, there's 1,000 products. There's the cleaning chemicals. There's the stain remover for different bodily fluids. There's a chemical to remove like tar or something. Dirt, really heavy dirt, like grease. So there's different chemicals like that. Now you have the tool that you're using to clean it, different types of brushes. Then you talk about things like vacuum cleaners. We sell something like 100 different vacuum cleaners. It's insane.
Wow.
So being able to think like that, you're always in sales mode. And because that sales rep is always in sales mode, you're also always in service mode because you generally are the first call. When there's a problem, they're calling you. And hey, I've got a problem with this, or this item got damaged, or when am I going to get this item? And, you know, you become that touch point. So often the service you deliver to a customer is completely indicative on if they're going to continue to buy from you. So you kind of have to be on the top of your game all day, every day, throughout every stage of that customer life cycle, because it could very easily impact your next order. So going back to the frequency of our orders, we have customers that order weekly. We have customers that order monthly, depending on the size and what they're buying. So some of these customers, there's a lot of risk. If, you know, you let a couple days go by or a day go by without returning the call, it could certainly be pretty detrimental to future sales. So the challenges that we've faced is there's really no handoff. And that sales rep really does. They become the quarterback to that relationship where they're working with customer service. They're working with our buyers, our procurement team. They're working with our marketing team, our corporate accounts team, even our manufacturing suppliers that we use. We don't make everything. So they're the ones right in the middle of everything. So going back to that whole 35% of the time selling, I would even, in our world, I would even say, well, some of those activities are actually selling, even though they're kind of administrative. So that's where the challenge for us is there's no real baton handing off from the sales rep, because it really all starts and ends with that sales rep. And you're not so much fighting for the order or fighting, you know, you're not an order taker per se, but you're fighting to keep and retain that customer by delivering a service that can help them, that they can be responded to. And that's where using customer service helps, as well as our other departments that at our company to help work with to ultimately get an answer back quickly to the customer and take care of them.
I love it. I love it, man. Well, interesting. Well, as we can begin to wrap here, it's much, much more probably to talk about, Ed. Interesting the way you've kind of looked at it. And again, you're just continually testing different things. I think that's certainly one of the message to leave with the audience is you think about your experience and kind of summary thoughts here. Anything that you would be able to use to summarize or kind of leave with the audience as they think about, you know, some people aren't in your space, but are trying to set up their own inside sales team, or some people may be in feeling your same kind of burden of, hey, I go to some of these events and I'm not kind of the usual finance or tech. And, I feel like I'm a little out of place here, but yet I still want to run an effective inside sales team. Any words of wisdom or advice you'd leave with the audience?
Yeah. The biggest one is I made a mistake early on to just somewhat discount a lot of this stuff. And I could do it again, I would not discount it, because this is exactly how learning happens. This is exactly how you can start to bring something in that one industry is using, and how do you bring it into yours? You may not do it exactly like they do, but you can start to take some lessons from their playbook. And that's, I think, the biggest thing for me is I've become a student very, very quickly, and I hated school. I hated high school. I hated college. But you know, I've now become a student in this profession to really learn from everybody. And while I can be quick to say, in some cases, your solution doesn't meet my need. In some cases, I'm 100% accurate because I've been down the path before. But in other cases, I'm intrigued and I want to learn. And maybe it doesn't, but maybe I can take one thing away. So I think that's number one, is don't be quick to just discount different industries, different products, different sales types, things like that. The second thing is just test. Just test till your heart's desire to be able to figure out what works and what doesn't. Industry data is wonderful because it gives you a starting point if you have nothing else to base it on. If you're doing something new, start there. Start by going to RealityWorks, Anna Casilli's group, The Bridge Group, Tris Bertuzzi's group. They're great sources of information of how do you build sales teams or grow an inside sales team. Great sources of data, and then go test yourself. Try different technology. Try different ways of doing it. Measure it. So I think those are the two, is don't automatically discount the different industry, and the second is just the power of testing for your relevant market, for your relevant customer.
Love it. Perfect, man. Great points. I think sometimes we think we're so unique that it doesn't apply. But yeah, sometimes sales is sales. So there's a lot of stuff that does carry over. Ed, appreciate you taking the time as we wrap. If someone wants to learn just a little bit more or just get in touch and kind of brainstorm with you some of the things they're thinking about, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm on LinkedIn, very active on LinkedIn, so you can just Google me, Ed Porter. And if you happen to be in the Columbus, Ohio area, which is where I live, I'm also the chapter president here for AAISB. We have meetings every other month, and we're starting to build a pretty nice community here in town. So if you're in the area or happen to be in the area, swing by. We'd love to have you.
Love it. All right. Well, for the audience, Ed, thank you so much. And we'll leave you with, remember, success is just one play away. Want more sales secrets? Go to salessecrets.io to receive copies of our latest research and best practice content to help you crush your quota.